life. It's very interesting to me that we do know for sure about the time that the resurrection occurred because of the Passover. And it's very interesting this year, Passover and all the three sort of major strands of Christianity, sort of Easter's all today for all of them. Eastern Orthodox, Roman Catholic, Coptic, and whatever other strand. They all kind of figured the day was today, okay? And they've done that with the lunar calendar. I'm not sure I understand it all. But Passover was just this past week as well. So we know for sure that the resurrection occurred around the time of the Passover, probably in the spring. And it seems fitting to me that it would be in the time that the earth was bringing forth new life, or I should say God in the earth was bringing forth new life. He brought forth new life spiritually for us as well. And newness, life, redemption are all words that we associate with the resurrection, are they not? And yet, we really don't want to detach the event of the resurrection and make it some sort of purely symbolic event. That maybe it didn't really happen, or it only means something, or it was only an event that was meant for a few individuals. It was a real event that real people experienced in real time. And what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to start by sort of making a compilation of all the events as they occurred. We have four different accounts of the resurrection, four different accounts of what happened that one morning so many years ago. And I want to demonstrate, number one, what the event meant to those who experienced it personally. I want you to see the events as they experienced them personally. And I want, by extension, for us to see what it means for us. It wasn't just an event to be experienced by them. It was an event meant for all of us. And that's key. First of all, let's kind of reconstruct what happened a little bit. Kind of in a nutshell, here's what happened on that morning. Some women came to the tomb. They didn't find the body. They saw some angels, apparently, who told them a few things. They went back and told the apostles. They didn't find the body. Some of the apostles came back to the tomb to see what had happened. They left wondering what had happened. While the women are there, somewhere in there, they encounter the risen Lord for the first time. They are the first ones to encounter. Then they go back again, and they tell the apostles, "We've seen him." They went, "Right. We almost believe that." You'll see. That was kind of some of their response. This took them so much by surprise, and even the angels say it shouldn't have, but they were shocked. This wasn't supposed. How did this happen? It's kind of like, the way spring is coming to us this year. It starts, it stops, and then all of a sudden, today it's 63, and we go, "What happened? How did that happen? How did that come upon us?" Well, you kind of know it's supposed to be here, but you don't know when it's going to happen. Anyway, no single account of the resurrection gives us all the details in the exact order of occurrence. So we're kind of piece them a little bit together this morning for your understanding. Number one, the women are always mentioned first in all of the accounts. Mary Magdalene is mentioned. Mary, the mother of James and Salome, are in Matthew and Mark's account are the ones that go to the tomb. Luke adds a few other individuals who apparently don't say much, but they're there, Joanna and some others. John only mentions Mary Magdalene. She seems to be the key here because she's the one that sees Jesus first. She's the one that seems to be the spokesperson to the disciples or to the rest of the apostles. And they were coming because they were bringing spices for the body. Now, I'm not quite sure in my mind why they were doing that. Maybe there had to be some reason that they were supposed to give more spices for the body because Nicodemus had already done that. He had already buried the body with a large amount of spices. But for whatever reason, they were coming to do that. And as they're coming along the way, they have a problem. The problem is, how are we going to move this stone? Apparently, a fairly large stone was simply rolled in front of this crypt, and that's where they put the body of Christ. And they knew the stone was going to be a problem for them. Mark mentions that. Well, one of the things that Matthew mentions that nobody else mentions is an earthquake had occurred before they got there, and an angel had rolled away the stone for them. And Matthew also mentions that the guards had passed out when they saw the angel. Now, I know I've always thought in my own mind, or at least I've maybe said it a few times, if there's any one thing I want to do before I die, it's I want to see an angel. And then I think about these guards and I go, well, maybe I don't. You know, maybe I'd do the same thing. I'd see him and I'd just pass out from fear. It's like, what is that? So I don't know. Maybe it's just a death wish I have or something. I'm not sure. But anyway, these guards see the angel and they just pass out. It says they became like dead men. The women come and they find the stone rolled away. Luke mentions that. It's like, well, what happened here? While they're there, they get to see these angels as well. And all of the accounts mention the angels. Matthew mentions the fact that one angel talks to them. Mark says they encountered a young man dressed in white or in dazzling apparel. I'm sorry, Luke says there were two men in dazzling apparel. And John says Mary sees two angels in the tomb. That was one thing that's consistent with all the accounts. They see these angels. And the angels speak to them. And if there's any one thing that I think you should remember from my lesson today when you leave, if you don't remember anything else, I want you to remember one thing they said. And it's very memorable. He is not here. He is risen. That was their message. And it's like, you know, you feel like that was a message that was meant to be broadcast to everybody. He is not here. He is risen. You can remember that, can't you? It's a powerful statement. One of the things that the angels also say to them is, you know, guys, or gals, excuse me, he told you this. Jesus told you this was going to happen. He tried to explain it to you. And if you go through Mark's account, you realize, yeah, numerous times he tried to explain it to them. They just went right over their heads. You know, they just in one ear and out the other. They really didn't kind of get it. And then they say, I want you to go tell the others. Only John does not account for their words, but that doesn't mean they weren't there. It just means John doesn't bother with that particular part of the detail. So they encounter angels, the angels talk to them, and they say, I want you to go tell the others about this. And so they go tell the apostles. Mary Magdalene becomes the key person here. She's the one that we seem to always associate with the resurrection, and there's a reason for that. She seems to be the spokesperson. She speaks for the whole group. In Mark, the apostles refuse to believe her. And by this time in Mark, she has in fact seen the Lord. Luke says the apostles believe their words to be an idle tale. Well, you know, these women come back and they say, we've seen Jesus resurrected. And they say, well, we saw him die. How can you say you see him resurrected? That doesn't happen. And they think they're just babbling on about something. They think it's some sort of idle notion. They cannot believe it. Peter has already been to the tomb, and he saw the tomb empty. He walks away scratching his head. He didn't know what happened. John, she says in John, they have taken the Lord, and we don't know where he is. Now, they haven't seen Jesus yet in John's account. But we surmise that they've spoke to the apostles both before and after they encountered Jesus. And for whatever reason, the apostles do not want to believe these women. They don't believe that they've really seen him. Now the women, at some point in this Sunday morning, they meet Jesus along the way. Matthew makes no mention that they saw the apostles first. In Mark, he appears to Mary, but Mark records no dialogue. In Luke, there's no mention of appearing to Mary. In John, Mary Magdalene thinks he's the gardener. But at some point, they encounter him. At some point in this, apparently before the women actually encounter Jesus, Peter and John go to the tomb.